What if passports were stamped with experiences instead of places? With Luxury Gold, each journey brings you unforgettable passport moments. In Japan, join a private sushi-making class with a master chef and witness the cherry blossoms alongside a tree doctor. Experiences like these are the golden threads that make up your Luxury Gold journey. To learn more, contact your travel advisor or visit luxurygold.com/Japan.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 12th day of January 2024. And tonight, the boss himself, Josh, is at the controls. Hey, Josh.
Hey, good evening, Pastor.
And then we have way out yonder the man of renown, statesman, none other than Big John McTernan. Big John?
And all the listeners, and I'm glad that you're feeling better.
Yeah, I'm back. Praise the good Lord for Joe filling in for me yesterday. We're going to be playing, Lord's willing, in the second hour, finding out where this stuff is. It's coming after us all, and this is these so-called whether bioweapons or what they are being used on us, folks. These things are being created, and this is all a part of what we've been talking about for years, the World Depopulation Program, and they especially like to target elderly people in this too. So anyhow, we're going to talk about that in the second hour, but right now the last part of the message was called An Accurate Account of the Divine Institution of Marriage and the Family. And we're going to pick it up where we left off on in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 through 16. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 11.
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, could you repeat that, please?
Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 through 16.
11 through 16.
No, verses 1 through 16, chapter 11.
Okay, yeah, I'm having a little hard time hearing you. Your voice is low. Okay.
I'll try to speak up. Maybe I can. Maybe, Josh, you can tune it up a little bit for him there. Pot it up a bit. Now, let's pick it up. Thanks.
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
Okay, so now let's read. Be you followers of me, even as I am also am of Christ. Is that really kind of a bold statement in the sense that it's showing a lot of responsibility? Paul has taken a lot of responsibility because he says elsewhere, do as I do, what you see me do, do what you hear me say, say. And so now he goes on to say, now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I deliver them to you. Now, that's interesting there, because that word ordinance is not like we use it today. That word actually in the Hebrew or the Greek here, I mean, is the same word that we use for traditions, where he says here that I would keep the traditions as I deliver them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of every woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Okay, so we're talking about here a divine order, that God has given man. So what he's saying very well is that the woman should be, or the man is subordinate to the Lord Jesus Christ. The woman is subordinate to the man. Christ is subordinate to the Father. And so here, as we take a look at that, let me ask you this then. In this divine order, are the women and children, are they inferior to the man when it comes to their humanity?
Absolutely not, Pastor. We're all created in God's image and likeness.
So then in our humanity, we're all the same, okay? What about the Lord Jesus? Is he inferior to the Father or the Holy Spirit in their deity?
No. They're all equally God.
Okay, so God made man in his image. We're triune beings. As the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is triune, so are we, body, soul, and spirit. And so then here, this divine order is very subordinate. So we see from Genesis to Revelation, we see God the Father. You're doing something and making a noise, John, so stop it.
Oh.
Okay. And so here we have a divine order from Genesis to Revelation. We see God the Father giving the marching orders, God the Son carrying them out, and the Holy Ghost always providing the power. God never changes that, does he?
No, he's immutable, Pastor.
Okay. So in today's society, for a woman to be subordinate to their husband, they are mocked for doing that. In today's society, we see today with the so-called feminist movement, women that are good mothers, that even want to be mothers and wives and subordinate to their husbands in obedience to God, they're looked down upon by these so-called career women, aren't they?
They are, Pastor Ernie. In fact, if you read, which I don't recommend, but if you read some of the writings of these feminist women, they loathe the marriage unit with the man and the husband and the woman in submission, and they think they want to actually do away with the marriage or women staying at home, and that every woman should be like in the workforce and in corporate America. That's how adamant they are about it. Anything, Pastor Ernie, that God created, like the family unit, which you're describing, modern man, Satan through modern man is moving to destroy it.
Now, Janet Yellen, she's supposed to be what? The head of the Treasury?
She's the Federal Reserve, Pastor.
Yeah, she is a very, very, very wicked woman. I heard that wicked old woman say about going back to work that if you're a woman and you're pregnant, abort it and get back to work. Now, that is a wicked, wicked old woman, is she not?
Yeah, she might have been the one that I picked that up from, Pastor Ernie. Yeah, she very well might have. I mean, hard. Her heart is as hard as granite.
And so, I mean, she's right in that same class with Hillary, isn't she?
Well, I never thought of that before, but I'd say, yeah, it's a horse race there to the finish line. Who's the worst? I guess Hillary is.
Verse 4, John, every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. Why do you think that he writes that? two things. One, in with the Bible, but the other is with the custom where they're in Corinth at the time. So why do you think that is?
I looked at that as the head there, like representing authority, because they want the woman to cover her hair, her head, but not the man. And I was just thinking that was a show of the submission and authority.
Well, it's because man was made in the image of God and woman was made in the image of man.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But there was something else there in Corinth at that time. If you were a free man, your head was uncovered. But if you were a slave, you had to cover your head. And so that was one of the customs there. But here in verse 5, but every woman that prayeth or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one as if she were a shaven. Now, who was it that had their head shorn in those days?
Could it have been the slaves or prostitutes?
There was the Temple of Diana. Had about six or seven different names, that Temple of Diana. But the young women at the age of 18 for 2 years had to serve as prostitutes, temple prostitutes there. And to recognize them, they would shave their heads. Their heads would be bald. But the male prostitutes would have long hair. And they called that the woman's hair, long hair, was called komea, and that was hair to the shoulder or below. And the male hair was called comb. That's where we get the word comb, but it was spelled K-O-M-B for short hair, or man's hair. And so, now what would happen in those days when a temple prostitute would get saved and she would come into the church? Remember, in the early church, there was mostly all Jewish converts. And the men would sit on one side and the women would sit on the other side. And there's still some congregations that will actually do that today. But here, what do you think the response was with these women when it come to seeing these other women with their heads shaved, knowing they were prostitutes? Do you think they made sure that they didn't get anywhere near their husbands?
That's nature, you know, I don't mean nature, but that's the way God's we have jealousy. We can be jealous and all that. And the women want to be protective of their husbands. So I think that would come into play, Pastor Ernie.
You know, and today's society has changed. The morals and the values are so much lower. Like divorce today is on the same par with marriage. When I was a kid, John, I had a good friend. His name was Chuck. And he always would want me to stop at his place on the way after school because I had to walk past his place and come in. And his mother was a single mother. And she just loved to fix something for us to eat. She would fix different things. And very nice lady, a very nice lady. But one day, when we were together, I went over and I was talking to her, and my mother was there, and afterwards she took me by the wrist and she said, I don't want you talking to that woman anymore. And I says, why? She's a very nice lady. And my mother says, she's a divorcee. Now, I didn't even know what a divorcee was back in those days. I was only about 9 years old, okay? But And my mother was a woman with a very, very good heart. But to her, you know, you just didn't do that because people just didn't get divorced unless, you know, it was for, you know, because of the Bible, unless it was for infidelity, okay? So you kind of had a scarlet letter on you if you were a divorced woman in those days, didn't you?
Yeah, but yeah, you're right. And there's a lot to making divorce really serious and not just you know, for without cause. But how do you know that he wasn't the one that was committing adultery and not her?
I don't know, but...
Right. That's what I mean.
And so, but anyhow, all I know is you know, my mother was a wonderful lady, but she, you know, back in those days, people had much higher standards than they do today, didn't they?
Right. But you don't want, like, let's say he committed adultery and devastated her. You don't want to pile on with the, make it worse for her when she's like the innocent spouse in this. You don't know. That's what I'm saying.
Well, no, you're absolutely right. And now, my parents had no problem with me at all, you know, playing with Chuck. You know, he would come over to our house and this and that. They didn't have a problem with that, but I don't know. There was a stigma there, and back in those days. Now, we go to verse 6. For if the woman not be covered, let her also be shorn, but if she is ashamed for her to... for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. In other words, they were making sure that if she had her head shaved, that she should cover her head, especially like in church. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much he is in the image of glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Now neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. John, listen, I'm absolutely positive that my mother was the one that gave birth to me. I noticed her, because I was there. There's a record that I was there at the time. Okay. So this is referring to something else. What is that referring to? It's referring to the first woman. The very first woman came from who?
From Adam.
And so that's what he's referring to, that the woman, the first woman, Eve, came out of the man, Adam, and he says, for the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man, neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman was created for the man. And so for this cause ought the woman to have power over her head because of the angels. And so... what do you think that means, to have power over her head because of the angels?
Well, Pastor Ernie, you've come across one of the enigmas I found in scriptures there. I spent a little time looking at it, and I've never come to a conclusion, so I want to hear what your take is on it.
Well, the angels were watching. They had a lot of intensely interested in the progress of the gospel and the people and the churches. And you see that in Ephesians 3:10 and 1 Peter 1, I believe 1:12 there. So it appeared that every true church, every real church, had angels assigned to it. Now remember something here. If we go to Revelation, those seven churches in Revelation, the word angel, angelos, meant messenger, and sometimes that word angelus meant an angelic being, and other times it meant a human man, you know. And so in these cases here, what they're saying is because the angels are watching the progress of the church and virtually learning from that, and because there's going to be a point where who's going to be judging the angels?
We are.
Yeah, and so...
we are, Pastor Ernie.
So here, he goes for this. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, or neither is the woman without the man in the Lord. Well, in order for us to have women, we got to have men. For all of us to have men, we got to have women, don't we?
Absolutely.
And so, what about those third or fourth things, all them trans things? Do we need them too?
They're delusions.
No.
They're delusions, Pastor Ernie.
So in reality, there's still only two genders, right?
What we boil down to is like our DNA, and that can't be changed.
All right. Yeah, but Fauci and the others sure are trying, aren't they?
Hey, Pastor Ernie, did you see, what was it, yesterday or the day before, in a Senate hearing, or maybe it was a House, it was one of the government hearings, Fauci admitted that that six-foot, you know, space was made up. It wasn't based on science.
Well, I know. We talked about that when they first came out. The whole idea was 6x6. Remember how do you have RU-480? RU-480. RU-480. RU, the 480 means 86. 486. 86 means RU-486. 86 means to kill. In the military, when we were in the military, if they said 86, that meant take it out, okay? And so that was a big thing that they had, an esoteric joke about killing babies from a very, very sick liberal, very sick Democratic Party. Well, this thing, do you remember that little woman from Holland or Sweden or wherever she's from, Greta something?
I know who you're talking about.
Thornburg,
oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Well, we were telling people what this meant. She came out and talked about 6 feet down and 6 feet long and 6 feet deep, okay, that COVID, this is one of their esoteric little jokes. And we knew from the very beginning that was just something they made up. We told people, do you remember Dr. Parker? John, you remember Dr. Parker?
No.
When he died, he left all Coupon Ken. You remember him?
Oh, sure.
Well, he left all of his medical supplies. Well, he left it to me because he didn't have anyone left in it. And boxes and boxes of those masks that they give out. Well, right on there, John, right on the box, it says, this will not prevent the spread of any virus or bacteria. It says right on there, this will not stop the spread, but it's good up to 4 splashes of blood, but will up to 4 splashes. So I thought, well, I wonder, how do you measure a splash of blood? So I took it over, and I had a doctor's appointment, and I asked them, I took that in, and I says, how do you measure a splash of blood? And they said, we've never been able to figure that out ourselves. They just... But anyhow, so we told people in the very beginning, John, the very, very, very beginning, how those masks are worthless. They've done a lot more damage. I'll tell you what we use them for. We use them for sweeping the big garage floor because of the dust. And when we have to replant grass and put the straw down, now they work real good to keep the straw off of you, you know, out of your... But other than that, when it comes to the spread of COVID, they're worthless. Let me finish this because we're getting towards the end. He goes, judging yourself, is it commonly that a woman praying to God uncovered? That word commonly means proper. Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? Now, John, you see all these pictures of Jesus with his long hair. The Apostle Paul spent 3 years with Jesus in the Arabian desert. Do you think if Jesus had long hair, Paul would have made such a statement?
Oh, right, Pastor Ernie. We don't know what Jesus looked like.
And so, here... This, again, is like all these artist perceptions of Jesus for
right.
this long.
Exactly. Exactly.
You've got these guys that make these commercials that tell you they come on and they want to, would you pray with me? And they got the long, scraggly hair. And their hair looks greasy and unkempt. No. The thing of it is, if you go back, if we go back to Europe, back in the days with all of the busts, back in the days of the Roman Empire, all of the busts of the men had their hair like ours. It's about the length of our hair today, a man's hair, short hair. You don't see any of those, and that included the busts of the apostles. You didn't see any any of those long hairs, okay? And that's just the perception that they have today. The only people in those days that had the long hair, there were a few groups of people. One, the male prostitutes. That's how you knew that they were prostitutes. Two, the barbarians. The barbarians that signed up in the Roman army, okay? And three, the Nazarites. The Nazarites didn't cut their hair. Okay, but here, again, this is an artist's perception. Men did not have hair down past their shoulders, and long hair meant to your shoulders, okay? He goes on to say, but if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. What do you think that means, if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such customs, neither the churches of God?
I guess it would be contentious about God's order, Pastor.
Well, it's probably what he's referring to is, look, having long hair doesn't disqualify you from becoming part of the congregation or the assembly. Or, in other words, it's not a reason to disfellowship or anything. And so, but people are really under misconceptions. What about all these things? You got this guy who, what is his, called Jelly Roll. Jelly Roll. This guy's a singer, and he's got crosses tattooed on his face, and his face is filled with, metal and stuff like this. Do you think that glorifies God?
Absolutely not, Pastor Ernie. That's going back to paganism. The pagans did exactly that. Now, a pagan could come to the Lord and look like that, but the Christians they weren't into tattoos. They never disfigured themselves and all. But that's what classic pagans did.
All righty. Hang tight, John. We'll be back right after this. Big Baptist John.
Big John. Big John.
He was born of Elizabeth, the son of Zechariah, sent by God the Father to proclaim the Messiah. He was as bold as a lion. He knew no fear. An awesome man in a coat of camel hair.
Big John.
Big John. Big Baptist John.
Big John.
In the wilderness of Judea, you could hear him there. He was preaching repentance. It was very loud and clear. O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Better listen, Pharisee. He preached to the sinner, the thief, and the liar. Only one way out of that burning lake of fire. The truth thundered forth from this righteous man, and those that believed found the promised land.
Big John, Big John,
Big Baptist John,
Big John.
Chosen by the Father to baptize the Son, it was there in the Jordan this awesome thing was done. The Holy Ghost descended as if it were a dove. A mighty voice thundered from heaven above. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. John, his friend, none greater than he. He told all the people about God the Son. He never quit preaching till the job was done.
Big John. Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Now 2,000 years later, the story is still being told. How he was thrown into prison for being so bold. He was martyred for God. To him it was an honor. He earned himself a mansion in heaven way out yonder. Big John. Now John's enemies, they perished in their shame. But John took his place in the Saints' Hall of Fame. Now in heaven above, the angels understood. When John preached repentance, he sure did it good. Baptist John.
Big John.
Now there's one thing John wants you to know. It's a fearful matter to lose your own soul. So call upon the Lord while you still can. and better take the advice of this mighty righteous man.
Big John, Big John.
Big Baptist John.
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 Big Baptist John, boy. There you go. When I get to heaven, John, I want to meet him, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he was a rough, tough customer for the Lord.
Yeah, I bet he has a lot of stories to tell. Listen, this coming Sunday at 4 p.m., we have a class that we call the Bible and Current Events. And we're going to be showing a film, The Silent Cry, The Darker Side of Trafficking. And here there's a sinister, sinister wickedness encompassing our country, John. Doesn't fit any profile, doesn't lend to predictability, and strikes without warning. While the specific evil should sound familiar, and though millions and millions of lives have been brutalized, very few understand how deep it goes. Child sex trafficking is the only beginning. There is an organized occult effort that uses these children as sacrifices and ancient, bloodthirsty, demonic entities. Never before has a documentary dared to expose the true depths of the dangerous evil, and you will be shocked as how common this problem is in our country. And after watching this film, you will never be the same. Well, we're going to be showing that at 4 p.m. The doors of the Word Baptist Church at 14781 Sperry Road. And when we do things like this, we always come under attack by the opposition. But anyhow, John, the biggest purveyor of child sex trafficking is the United States government.
Without a doubt, attorney.
Yeah.
It hurts me to say it. But I agree with you 100%. You know, these kids come, and they were on Trump, how he was destroying family units with the illegal aliens coming and all this, and now when these kids come to the border, they're accompanied by no one, they disappear. I mean, it's like last count I heard was like 70,000. Have just disappeared, Tester, and they have no idea where they are, who has them, who's in control of
them. It's much higher than that, and right now, John, all the way back in the 80s, we had a situation here where you had the child trafficking out of Detroit, Michigan, where they were being brought into Mansfield, Ohio. And there's a guy who was the publisher of the newspaper there, Marty Yance, and he wrote a book, Rotten to the Core. And so I was the pastor of these inmates, and the fellow who was the one picking them up and driving them in from Detroit, and they would be brought into Mansfield, and these liberal judges would give them a new birth certificate, a new identity, and virtually sell them off to whoever. And we exposed that, and they threatened. I was threatened, pulled over by the State Highway Patrol just to let me know that there were people very concerned about my well-being. But I went after them right on the radio. I put everybody's name out there. And then we were threatened that if I kept doing this, I was making very powerful people very nervous. So we took and made tapes of those programs. The fellow, John, that brought him in, I led him to the Lord. He gave his heart to the Lord Jesus, and he came right on the air, and he spilled his guts. He said, "This is going to cost me my life." He said, "But at least I'll die saved now." And what happened? He went into the system, and of course, we didn't hear from him after that. It's and that's the way things work in this world out there. But it's a lot worse than ever. We've been talking about it for years, for decades. We've been trying to explain what was going on, and again, so we're still at it. We're still trying to be a light in the darkness, John. And so we're going to be showing this film, Silent Cry, Doers of the Word Baptist Church at 14781 Sperry Road, this coming Sunday. And the class is the Bible, and current events, and then Pastor Larson is going to be preaching the night message afterwards. I'm going to be preaching, Lord's willing, and I hadn't made up my mind. There was two subjects, John, two subjects that I was looking at. One, in the news right now, you've got all of this, whether, you know, who's too old, age, should you be able to hold office after a certain age? How does it matter? A lot of people don't understand that there are some people, just like with children, you got some children that are 10 years old going on 20, others that are 20 years old going on 10. And you have some people, like my aunt, she was 90-something years old, sharp as a tack, just as sharp. I had an uncle who was 96, and he was still working every day. And he was sharp as a tack. Others, you know, like you have, like Donald Trump. Donald Trump is 77, and he's sharp as a tack. And
look at Biden.
No, Biden is definitely, they're keeping him up on drugs.
He's like a zombie.
Yeah, I know. But anyhow, so we're gonna take a look at that. What is the Bible? Because the Bible talks about that. If we look in the Bible, what about a fellow named Caleb? How did Caleb fare?
He did very well, him and Joshua.
Caleb was in his 80s, and he was still wielding a sword in battle, wasn't he?
Yeah. And so what about Moses?
Yeah, okay. And so, anyhow, so that's one of the topics. The other topics that I might be talking about was, all you hear about is this the end days. Are we in the last days? Are we in the last days? Well, I preached a lot about that. But the final battle over Jerusalem and the second coming of Jesus Christ. You know something about that, don't you?
Yeah, Pastor Ernie. Yeah, that's one of my, what would you call it, my knowledgeable topics in the scriptures.
If you had gotten me this flyer a few days ago, it would have gone out in our newsletter.
But, well, maybe the next one.
Yeah, maybe I get it in the next one. It's a very good flyer. But everything that you have in there was going to be a part of my next message. I mean, you got it all laid out. And so that might be what I'm preaching on, too. I'm not sure. Do you know how the Lord changed? A lot of people out there listening to us probably don't understand if it's never happened to them. But you can prepare all week long for a message, and at the very last minute, the Lord will say, "Nope, you ain't preaching on that. Here's what you're going to preach on." And that's happened to me on many occasions. And if it's never happened to you, it's hard to understand, but you understand it, don't you?
Well, absolutely, Pastor Ernie, yeah. Sometimes I've matured in the Lord, because years ago, I would have a blank kind of I had some general idea for preaching, and then but not too long before I got up to the pulpit, the message would come. So I've trusted the Lord now. I don't panic when things aren't clear in my mind, because you can't force it, Pastor Ernie. You know what I mean?
No, you can't. You got to wait upon the Lord.
But talking about preaching, can I share what happened this morning?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, as you know, I preach online through Skype in Pakistan and other countries in Asia and Africa. So there were two individuals, apparently in the military, that heard me speak in Karachi, Pakistan, maybe 6 months ago, and I spoke on the Blessed Hope. They love it. They in Pakistan, they love that message. About it gives them such hope. They have no hope there. So the Pakistani Navy was holding a cruise for politicians, and these two that heard, I think they were in the Army, heard me speak. They recommended me to speak on the cruise. I'm not kidding you, Pastor Ernie. And we're talking about like the governor of a province and mayors of cities and all of that. So I said, sure. And I said, what do you want me to speak on? They said, the Blessed Hope. So this morning I spoke at that cruise with the governors there and that. And they told me you have 20 minutes. So I spoke for 20 minutes. And then I said, you know, okay, my time's up. No, no, no. We want to hear 20 more minutes. They said, keep preaching this or keep speaking this here about the blessed hope. He said, you've got everybody's attention. They love it. So that's what happened this morning, Pastor Ernie, in Pakistan. The blessed hope captivates them.
Amen, amen. You know, that word hope that we use, it's the hope, but it's actually what it really refers to is like a guarantee that we have God's word. How sure is God's word?
It's 100% sure, Pastor Ernie. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but Jesus Christ and his word there in the word of God will never pass away.
So when we use that word, the hope, when he's referring to, that means we're assured. We're absolutely, if we're born again, are we going to heaven?
Well, absolutely. That's because you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed his blood to pay the penalty for your sin. So absolutely.
So very good. And I know we always refer to this, the blessed hope. Anyhow, we got to switch and do some articles here. John, the number of excess deaths among young Americans in the first 9 months of 2023 is 158,000 higher than the same period of 2019. What happened between 2019 and 2023?
It's the death shot, Pastor Ernie, and it makes me want to... makes me want to cry when I hear this. Pleading. How many people did we plead to with Pastor Ernie not to take those shots? How many? You know, Pastor Ernie, I know a woman. She shared with me about her family. She told me she's 70 years old now. And she's the only one in the family that wouldn't take the death shot. And they all, they got on her and they were mocking her and that. She said all her brothers and sisters have, one of them's dying from ALS, you know, the Lou Gehrig disease, we know it as. The other is crippling up. They're sick all the time. They can't work anymore. Every one of them, she's the only one that's healthy. Every one of them now are all slowly dying.
I had the same thing. I had a guy letter that I read over the air and talked to a fellow who told me there was five siblings. They were all from 50 to the early 60s. And here they decided, they always did everything together. They went together, they did, even at their old age, they were still doing everything together. And they decided they were all going to go get the shots. And he said, no, 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 because he got our newsletter. And he took our newsletter. He said, listen, you don't want to do that. You ought to read that. They didn't want to read the newsletter. We know this. I trust my doctor and someone very close to me, told me when I told her, you believe me, you don't want to get that shot. Well, she said, well, honey, I trust my doctor. Well, guess what? She got the shot and it almost killed her. And she told me, now I'm going to listen to you from here on out. And anyhow, but this guy said, John, he was the only one out of the five that didn't get the shot, and all five died shortly after they got the shot.
It's criminal, Pastor. It is. It shows you how corrupt the system is, because the media will not cover what we're talking about is known. There's all sorts of medical studies and even pharmaceuticals had to give up documentation that proved they knew what was going to happen, exactly what's happening now. And yet there's no prosecutions of it. There's no, the media, so look what these shots did. Look what they did. Look at the people. There's nothing like it. It's all suppressed. This is a death regimen. This is exactly what the New World Order said they wanted to do, to depopulate us. And this is kind of in the early stages. This is their first shot. And I have no doubt if they could do this the way they did it, they're going to lose something else even worse on top of this.
Well, before the shots, back in 2019, the average lifespan for a man was 76 years. Since then, it's dropped to 73 years. And since then, here, you have fatal breast cancer rates among women rose by 28%. Pancreatic cancer, yeah. I don't know why I can't say that. Deaths increased by 80% among women and 60% among men. Colon cancer deaths increased 55% among men, 41% among women. Fatal melanomas saw a 120% increase among men and a 35% increase among women. Well, that's interesting. Brain cancer deaths increased by 35% among men and 12% among women. Cancer deaths without sight specification rose by 60% among men and 55% among women. Well, the article goes on and tells you, but here, just think about that. That's about three times the amount of people we lost in the Vietnam War died young. And these are, we're talking about younger people. Isn't that something? Well,
Pastor Ernie, it was all, you had people on your show that were telling us that this was going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, this was a slow, some people they had set it up, died like the day they took the shot, and others died within 2 weeks, and others died within a month. But then they had the long-term ones where it slowly weakened the immune system, and then they would be open up to everything you just described, the long-term shots that people took long-term. Now the long-term death shot is kicking in exactly as you described, and they will not tie it into that, Pastor Ernie. The medical system, the media, will not do it. They're corrupt. They're totally corrupt.
Fauci and Gates need to be charged with genocide. Yeah. They need to be. Fauci is a beast. He is an antichrist. He's evil to the bone, this guy. And now, John, 3 weeks before anyone had taken the first shot, 3 weeks, Wendy Wilson had done a study. She'd been doing this for years on these vaccines. And she came on the program 3 weeks, and we talked all about this vaccine that they were going to use and that had not been tested on a human. Every single test animal that they used, hundreds of them died. Every single one died. And so, Wendy said, this is insanity. You have to be out of your mind to take this shot, okay? And they come out now. Bill Gates says, look, genocide is morally acceptable if it's planned. If you planned it in advance and tell people, first of all, people will not panic if it's planned and they're told they're going to get the shot and they're told that this is about depopulating the planet. A lot of people out there are la-la landers, aren't they?
Yeah, they believe anything that comes from a higher authority, except the word of God, but they believe like Fauci becomes like a little god. The World Health Organization, the CDC, the people are so full of fear that whatever Fauci said. Pastor Ernie, how many times did Fauci get up and contradict himself about masks? You don't need a mask. Remember in the beginning? It's a virus. You don't need a mask. Next year, at one point, he was talking about wearing two masks or three masks. You don't need it. You don't need it. And then the same thing about quarantine and doing this and spacing, and they would change it. I mean, all you had to do was listen to him, and he was changing it daily almost. And then
God
doubted him.
God is not the author of confusion. God is not the author of confusion. Who is the author of confusion?
Oh, Satan.
And that's exactly that's what Fauci's filled with.
And Pastor Ernie, the big thing was, if you challenged him, he hid behind you're denying science. That was his big defense. You're denying science. And then the Democrat Party in particular would pick up with that.
Rand Paul, that's what I like about Rand Paul challenge. So you're denying the truth. You are denying the truth. You are lying, and you lied under oath to Congress. Time and time again, you lied under oath to Congress. Just like Chris Ray and Merrick Garland.
Oh, they never... Oh. Now, what do you do with people that are lying to Congress that are the ones that's supposed to put you in jail for lying to Congress and to prosecute you for lying to Congress, and they're the ones lying? So what kind of justice is that, first? Ernie, the liars are the ones that they're protecting themselves because they're lying under oath to Congress.
This is why we have to get Trump back in, so we can once again get a legitimate Department of Justice, or we can get a legitimate FBI where they can go after these people and bring them to justice for committing high treason. And that's what Merrick Garland has done. He's committed high treason, like Joe Obama, Biden. And
do you notice, Pastor Ernie, at least as I've been watching the news, there hasn't been anything heard from Garland in months. He's like disappeared. Have you noticed that?
Well, he's trying to lay low. He's popped up in a couple of hearings, but for the most part, he sees the handwriting. Here's something that I've been told, and I can say this, that in the past, this source has always been very accurate in the past. And this source told me that there were actually communications going on between some of Trump's people and Merrick Garland's people, and Merrick Garland himself. Now, the only thing that I can imagine that could be is Garland could see the handwriting on the wall. And Garland might be saying to Trump, look, okay, I'll cut a deal. I'll roll over on whoever I have to roll over on, even Hillary. Even Hillary, as long as I don't hang, because he's guilty of high treason. You know that. I mean, I don't know for a fact
they all are guilty.
Yeah, every one of them. See, in this situation, I there's no way I could verify that because this is highly secretive people. But anyhow. I bring it out, and a lot of people are afraid to bring it out, but, it's got to be done. But anyhow, I wanted to thank all the folks real quickly out there that for the nice you text messages you text me to get well and the phone calls. And I got to say this, what's going on in the people's lungs and what should they do about it here? The best treatment for lung infections once they occur is to treat the lungs by nebulizing substances like bicarbonate. And that's baking soda, glutathione, iodine, hydrogen peroxide, and nebulizing magnesium. Hydrogen peroxide inhalation would also be helpful. Now, anyhow, here's what I've been doing because we've all had this same thing. It's hit a bunch of us. I've been using just baking soda, 1 teaspoon of baking soda in a glass of water, and it has helped dramatically, folks. This stuff that's being produced in labs and being sprayed upon us, and that's what's happening. In fact, we're going to go to a break, and when we come back from the break, you're going to hear a whole lot more about this, so get ready to take some notes, and we will be back right after this with a whole lot more. Don't go away. More to come. We'll see you then.
Lots of channels. Nothing to watch. Especially if you're searching for the truth. It's time to interrupt your regularly scheduled programs with something actually worth watching. Salem News Channel. Straightforward, unfiltered, with in-depth insight and analysis from the greatest collection of conservative minds, like Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, Sebastian Gorka, and more. Find truth. Watch 24/7 on SNC.TV and on Local Now, Channel 525.